Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Heaven is my throne, and earth is the footstool of my feet. What kind of a house will you build for me, says the Lord? Acts 7:49. Psalm 119, 144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119, 144. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I might live. Psalm 119, 144. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name, for thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name, for thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25:1. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 3 John, verse 11. 3 John, verse 11. Go to the book of Revelation. Back up some. You'll come to Jude. And back up a little bit more, and there you are, 3 John. So I should have done that the first session just to help you out, but probably you didn't need any help. That's fine. 3 John, verse 11. Spend a moment in prayer before we begin. Again, we're thankful, Father, for the opportunity which is ours to open our minds and hearts to these wonderful truths of your word. We realize that we are the recipients of your matchless grace, grace in salvation, grace by which to live each day, and the grace that will one day take us to our eternal home. We're thankful today for the fact that Jesus Christ cares for us. He's given us the assurance in His Word that heaven is our home, not because of anything we've done, but because of the fact we've accepted that great gift, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that you will help us to be awake and alert and always willing to receive what you have for us. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I just pray that we will be alert and awake. That reminds me that during a long sermon, a preacher saw an old fellow sleeping and snoring lightly, but continuously. This annoyed the preacher, but he said nothing. Next to the old fellow sat a young boy that the preacher spoke to after the sermon. Son, who is that old fellow that's sitting there by you? The boy said, that's my grandfather. I'll give you, the pastor said, $1 every Sunday to keep him awake during my sermons. Everything went well for the next two Sundays. Just as the grandfathers dozed off, the young lad would give a grandfather a nudge and wake him. True to his word, the preacher paid the young boy $1. However, on the third Sunday, the old fellow dozed off and the young boy did nothing. This upset the preacher. And after the sermon, the preacher told the boy he wouldn't pay him any more, asked him why he didn't wake the grandfather. Oh, said the young boy, you paid me $1 to keep my grandfather awake, and my grandfather paid me $5 to let him sleep. So if anyone's paying you, please, just stay awake. Thank you so much for staying awake. 3 John, verse 11. Beloved, imitate, mime, not the evil, but the good. The one doing good out of God is. The one doing evil does not have a horizontal look, long look of God. I have to tell you that I spent some time analyzing that verse, and you have it in the bulletin today in the Greek and English. It's important for me to point out the fact that there are some verbs here that are very important. The very first verb is a present middle imperative verb of the word mime, and it has a O-M-A-I at the end, which is a deponent verb. Beloved, imitate. Please notice how the word is used. It's fantastic to see this. Present tense, that's the P there. Present tense means continuous action. So there's an emphasis upon the responsibility that each one as a believer has in paying attention and imitating, following the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice also that it's a middle voice. You all know what the middle voice is. The middle voice says that the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. If it's negative, the person doesn't benefit. If it's positive, the person does benefit. That's the reason why I believe it's important for me to tell you that this is a middle voice. This is telling us that God will bless if we will properly follow in His footsteps on a day-by-day basis. And then you'll see that it is an imperative verb. Beloved, imitate, mime. Be sure that you choose to do those things which are not evil. Beloved, imitate, not evil. So the middle voice says, if you choose to go evil, you're not going to be benefited properly. If you go God's way, following God's word, listening to what God has to say, then you'll be a recipient of blessings. That's the reason why it's a middle voice. Beloved, imitate not the evil, but the good. Most of us through the years are aware of the fact that the word agathos is the word which means God's good, intrinsic good, the kind of good that you and I should be involved with every day. God's good, intrinsic good, is the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have the responsibility to think God's thoughts. We cannot think God's thoughts if we do not know God's thoughts. When we know God's thoughts, we have the ability to see from a vertical, divine viewpoint. If we're thinking horizontally, if we're thinking satanically, if we're thinking under the control of our sinful natures, we're not thinking vertical thoughts, we're thinking horizontal human thoughts. So this verse is a very powerful verse. Beloved, children of God, imitate not those things which are evil, kaikos, but the good. The one doing good, we've already analyzed that verb, is out from God, out from the source of God. On the other hand, the one doing evil has chosen not to be the recipient of horizontal God's thinking. When you and I are properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to have the ability to hora'o. We're going to have the ability to have a long look, seeing from God's vantage point, appreciating what God has done and is doing for us. How wonderful this is. Let me tell you again that this says the one doing evil does not have a long look toward God's plan for his life. Hora'o. Perfect tense means that this choice that has been made of not seeing as God wants us to see started back there in the past. Perfect tense verb. It was consummated and we continue to live in that lifestyle. So we're continuing to not have the ability to utilize God's viewpoint, seeing God's plan for our individual souls. In this first session today, we talked about the soul. We gave some characteristics of the soul. We gave an emphasis upon the fact that you and I, what's really important about us is not this body. It is the eternal soul. Your soul is the real part of you. Your body brought you into this auditorium today. But the real you is not your body. Your body is decaying, deteriorating, dying. One of these days, we do not know just when, we'll be gone from this life. We're going to be out of this body, but we're going to be in the Lord's presence. I look at my life and I look over these last number of years, 60 some odd, almost, well, it won't be too many years, it'll be 70 years of preaching. My, how wonderful God has been to me, and I am thankful to His blessings on my life. I'm aware of the fact that life in the future is not going to be all that long on this earth, that is. I'm aware of the fact that I am blessed tremendously, and I'm thankful to God for those blessings. We're discovering that the soul is eternal. The body is going to pass away one of these days. The Scripture says to be absent from this body is to be at home with the Lord. How fantastic that is. Have you thought about that recently? Have you thought about the fact that you could breathe your last breath at any time? Do you realize that your heart could stop beating and you're going to be absent from this body? I'm telling you, you and I must be aware of the fact of the importance of properly caring for our eternal soul. All right, let's look at it for a few moments. What about your soul? We've already mentioned the fact that your soul has awareness. I gave you this in the first session, but I did not give you these verses. So if you want to take the verses down, you can do it now. We're going to go quite rapidly, so I don't want you to spend time thinking. Otherwise, think about the verses. Put them down, please. There is awareness of the soul. You're sitting here in the auditorium today, and you're able to look around and see other individuals. Your soul comprehends those things which are around. You can comprehend those things in the realm of physical phenomena. If you were an unsaved individual, let me tell you, you would still have that ability. Unsaved or saved individuals have the ability to comprehend those things in the realm of the physical. So let's think about this for a few moments. Let's look at it. You're living today, you're alive today, you're sitting in this auditorium today, and you, the real you, is not your body. Listen to me. Your body brought you into this auditorium. Your body brought you into this auditorium. Sometimes you may wonder why I say things the way I say it. It's because I'm aware of the fact that there's a little disturbance and there's movement around, and I want you to be sure that you stop and listen to what is being said. It's very important. Your soul, you are an eternal soul. Your soul, one of these days, is going to move out of that body. And when it does, as a saved person, your soul goes into a place of eternal joy and peace and happiness. If you're unsaved, dying unsaved is a tragic situation indeed. The Bible reveals very vividly for a person who dies unsaved, they go into a place of eternal destruction, and that eternal destruction is not for a day or two, or a week or two, or a month or two, or a year or two, but for years and years, for eternity. I'm talking about the fact that Acts 27 through 12 speaks of the fact that our soul has awareness. You're able to look around here today and decide, as you look at individuals, what color clothes they're wearing. And you're aware of individuals, and many of them you know by name. There's awareness. If you were an unsaved person, you would still have awareness of physical phenomena. So there's a difference between an unsaved person and a saved person. The saved person has the ability to understand and appreciate those things that are in the realm of the spiritual, because you've been born again. You've been moved from body, soul, to body, soul, and spirit. We've said this thousands of times. Your soul has awareness. Your soul has mentality. Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. Your soul has emotion. Luke chapter 12, 23 to 33. I would encourage you to write all of these verses down and look these up later on. Your soul has awareness, number one. Your soul has mentality, number two. Your soul has emotion, number three. Your soul has choice, Acts chapter 3, verse 23. I'm giving you time to take these verses down. Your soul has conscience, Romans chapter 9, verses 1, 2, and 3. Your soul has also a distorter, which we call the old sin nature. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. For by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all, for all have sinned. Romans chapter 12, chapter 5, verse 12. Now, let's look at this very quickly. The soul. You and I were born with an old sinful nature. We were born physically alive, spiritually dead. How many times, preacher, are you going to say this? I'm going to say it until I realize that you and I not only understand it, but we understand that we can utilize these truths and share them with other individuals. We're born with an old sinful nature. We're born body, soul. We're not born again. We have to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Notice, if you will, in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, that John was a very smart individual. So we discover here, the scripture tells us that he said, you know, I understand all these things. I appreciate all these things. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Now, he was a good man, I guess. He was a religious man, I presume. He had all these characteristics, and yet Jesus said to him, you must be born again. So we're born with an old sinful nature, physically alive, spiritually dead. Number two, Adam was not created with an old sinful nature. Adam was not created with an old sin nature, which tells me that God is not the author of sin. I'm going to let you think about that a moment. Adam was not created with an old sin nature. God is not the author of sin. When I go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, I read about Adam and Eve. I read all about them, and I discover that when they became fallen individuals, fallen creatures, the first thing that they wanted to do was to cover up their nakedness, which is symbolic of the fact that they thought they could do something good to cover up their need. Spiritual nakedness, physical nakedness. We have a beautiful illustration here. What did they do? They decided that they would take fig leaves and make for them coverings. The coverings of the fig leaves were not all that covering. And all of us are fully aware of what happened. Most of us have some awareness of what happens to fig leaves when they dry. I grew up on a farm. We had a fig tree. I understand what fig leaves do. When they dry, they become very brittle. And so I don't have to go into this, but they fall apart. And when things fall apart, there's not much covering there. You're all aware of that fact. So we have an emphasis upon the fact that in the energies of the flesh, they tried to cover up their nakedness. What did the Lord do? We all are aware of the fact. This is so beautiful in the Hebrew language. They covered themselves up with a word from the Hebrew that means a belt. What God did was an innocent animal was slain. And from that innocent animal, there is a Hebrew word that says a cloak, a complete covering was made. There's the difference between what man does on the one hand, what women do on the one hand, what children do on the one hand, when they try to be saved by the energies of the flesh, or by joining a church, or trying to be good, or keeping the Ten Commandments, or all of these various things. Salvation doesn't come that way. All that's fig leaves, brittle. But Jesus Christ is beautifully depicted here by that complete cloak or covering. There's only one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we understand, number two, that Adam was not created with an old sin nature. God is not the author of sin, but what happened? Adam and Eve were created. From that point, all others are perpetuated. Now let's look at this and see what happens here. We have Adam and Eve. They were created. But after the fall and after children were born, children were perpetuated. Now notice number four. When Adam sinned, something about him died. The scripture says, and Jesus, the Father said in essence, if you go against God's plan, this is so unique. In the Hebrew again it says, dying, you shall die. If you choose to disobey God, dying, Adam and Eve, you're going to die. Dying, you shall die. Dying spiritually, you shall die. Physically. Dying, you shall die. I'm trying to let you see the emphasis here. When Adam and Eve sinned, they disobeyed God, and they died spiritually, and eventually they died physically. Some of you are going to say, "Preacher, I know what you're going to say now." Well, I'm glad you do, because what I'm seeing is that you remember what has been said in the past. Dying, you shall die. Dying spiritually, then you shall die eventually, physically. What I want to tell you is what I've told you in the past. When God saw all of this taking place, which He knew in the ages past, He knew that He had to take care of two major problems. One is He had to take care of a spiritual problem, and He had to take care of a physical problem. You're listening carefully now. You're seeing that God, in the eternal ages past, Deity 1, Deity 2, Deity 3, in analyzing that situation, even though they knew it was going to take place, they were aware of the fact that there were two major problems. One is a spiritual problem, the other is a physical problem. Let me deal first of all with the physical problem, because sometimes we'll miss it if we're not careful. The physical problem means that you and I are living in a dying, decaying, deteriorating body. I know that makes you happy for me to say that. I know that makes you just rejoice in the fact that you're getting older day by day. But I want you to know that the Bible teaches us that we have a physical problem as well as a spiritual problem. The physical problem is that when you die, your body goes to the dust of the earth. What's going to happen here? In other words, there has to be something in the future in relationship to the body. And what we realize is that that body going back to the dust of the earth, that's a problem there. And God says, I want you to understand, I've already taken care of that problem. The problem is solved by the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, came forth out of the grave, bodily resurrected, ascended to sit at the Father's right hand. So He says, I'm going to take care, and He did take care of that problem related to the body, because He came forth out of the grave bodily, bodily resurrection. So He's saying to us, you put it down. There's coming a day, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be the recipient of a glorified spiritual resurrection body. You see how fantastic that is? Are you listening? So, there's one problem that He's already taken care of. Let's look at the first problem. Dying, you shall die, dying spiritually. That's a real problem. In other words, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that God is saying, I've not only taken care of your future problem related to your body, most of all, more importantly, I've taken care of your spiritual problem. And that spiritual problem is taken care of by the fact that Jesus Christ, God's Son, pure, sinless, impeccable, was willing to die for the sins of mankind. I'm telling you, these are fantastic thoughts. When Adam sinned, his spirit died, and he got an old sinful nature. Look at these. Only two more points. The body is the house of the soul. How many times have we said this in the two sessions today? The real you is not the body, but the soul, and as a saved person, the spirit. The body is the house for the soul. You're living in that body right now, I do not know when you and I will leave this life. There's a great possibility that you and I might not have to die physically. The Lord Jesus Christ might come. The rapture might occur. And if that should occur, then we will just move right out, be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. But there's a great possibility, on the other hand, that we are going to still be alive, and then we're going to come to a point of physical death. Death. Now, notice, please, the body is the house for the soul. The real you is not the body, but the soul and spirit. So upon the point of your physical death, you're going to move out into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been through this, haven't we? We've talked about what kind of a body you're going to have. We talked about the fact that you have a body now. When you die before the rapture, you'll have a body. And then we studied the fact that there will be a glorified spiritual resurrection body. So it doesn't matter where you are, you're going to be the person with a body. A body now, an interim body when you leave this life, eternal glorified spiritual body in the future. Sometimes I just really wonder what you're thinking while I'm preaching. Some of you are thinking about what you're going to do when the service is over. Some of you think about other things. I want to bring you back for a few moments. You're going to die. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Preacher, why did you say that to me? I don't want to hear that. Oh, I want to tell you something. You're going to die. You're going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know when you're going to die. But your eternal soul will live on and on and on for millions and billions and trillions of years, eternity. The body is the house for the soul. The real you is not the body, but the soul and the spirit. And so number six and the last one, distinction must be made between the body and the spirit. I'm so glad that I can tell you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've been born into God's kingdom. Not anything more wonderful than that. I have a responsibility. My responsibility as a minister of the Word of God is to tell you that you're not going to get to heaven by trying to be good. You're not going to get to heaven by joining a church. You're not going to get to heaven by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. You're not going to get to heaven by trying to observe some particular church ritual. The only way you get to heaven is to do what God said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I'm glad that I can speak not only to people in this auditorium, but to people around this world. And I don't know who you are and where you are. But I'm keenly aware of the fact that there could be someone today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. You can do that now. The Bible says, believe. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever means you. If you'll do that, I'm so glad I can tell you that when God loved, He loved the world. And when Christ died, He died for everyone, which means He died for you. Wow, isn't it wonderful to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? M.G., come up here, will you please? We're going to have a moment of prayer. M.G. has something he wants to tell us. So we're going to pray, and then M.G. is going to say something. Let's pray together, please. Thank you, Father, for this day and for blessing us so richly. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you over and over again that we're privileged to give out this good news that Christ died, and when anyone accepts that great gift of salvation, they have eternal life. Thank you for your wonderful grace and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
The children are coming now, and we have a special presentation today. It's my duty honor and privilege as a senior member president of our military services to start this portion of our service today. Earlier today, I gave a very formal speech that reminds us of fallen service members who are remembered today, this Memorial Day service. But as the young people are coming in now, we're going to shift gears to a much less formal presentation and the opportunity to recognize a service member who, in his humility, does not like to call attention to himself, but will have to be called upon one more time to make the sacrifice. And in doing so, be able to convey to those present a sense of duty and honor and a willingness to sacrifice of himself, to call upon his family to sacrifice as well. And we're going to recognize that sacrifice today. Most veterans who sign up do so understanding that they may be called upon to put themselves behind that of their fellow service members, may be called upon to even sacrifice their lives, and that's why we celebrate Memorial Day, those who have died. But I'm going to ask now Mr. and Mrs. Jason Berlin to join me up here at the pulpit. It is traditional to acknowledge the service of a service member by presenting them upon their retirement. Staff Sergeant Jason R. Berlin, 23 February 2005 to April 3rd, 2017. For all your hard work, dedication, and loyalty, we would like to wish you all the best for your future and well-deserved retirement. This is a shadow box with not only his rank, his service patch, his wings, his medals, and his ribbons, but also a folded flag to commemorate his service. We hope that you will place this in a place of honor in your house and a reminder of the sacrifice you and your family have undertaken in the defense of the freedom of this country and service to your nation. Now, that's not the end of the service, however. Certificate of Appreciation. This is to certify that Mrs. Jason Randall Berlin, on the occasion of the retirement of your spouse from the United States Army, have earned grateful appreciation for your own unselfish, faithful, and devoted service. Your unfailing support and understanding helped to make possible your husband's lasting contribution to our nation. From Grace Bible Church, signed by Roy A. Clout and Mike McReynolds as a deacon, we present you this certificate and these roses. Service members are called upon to give a great deal. And in giving that great deal, they also many times have to say goodbye to family. And that family has to suffer. And it's not always acknowledged openly. But we would like the two young daughters to come up now.
All right.
These beautiful young ladies. Getting kind of crowded up here. These beautiful young ladies have served their country by saying goodbye to Dad from time to time. And this is a small token of our appreciation to y'all.
I'm so proud of you guys.
In acknowledgement to services rendered, we thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you, MG.
On behalf of Grace Bible Church, our unfailing gratitude. Now, I was supposed to do this and got
sidetracked.
Very good.
Happy retirement.
Can I say something really quick? I want to thank you guys all so much for the support that you gave us. We weren't physically able to be a part of your church family for the last decade, for the majority of it. But whenever Jason was deployed, every single time you guys brought us in with open arms. When I had to come in for surgery, you guys helped my grandmother. A lot of you even helped whenever she had to take care of Lena, whenever I had such a tremulous pregnancy with Katie. I just want to thank you all for always standing in our corner. It was a hard thing to go through, but y'all's support has been undying, faithful, and extremely, extremely appreciated. So thanks, you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate so much Jason and this family. Did you notice 12 years, is that right?
12 years of service.
12 years of service. Can you imagine? Thank you. Thank you so very much. What they plan today is when we leave here, we're going to go back to the fellowship hall, and they've made some sandwiches and things of that nature. But before we go back there, we're going to dismiss some of the ladies who need to go. You take off, please, and you're going to make arrangements for us to be back there in a little bit. Ian's going to lead us in a song, and let's have a prayer of thanksgiving. MG, you lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving for Jason and for this sweet and precious family. We love them.
We love y'all too.
Let's take a moment in prayer. Our Lord God in heaven, our Father, who's provided to us this great salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we give thanks not only for the food we're about to receive and ask your blessing upon it for the nourishment of our bodies, but for our continued service to you. And thank you, Lord, for the service members that we honor today and their family. Lord, we thank you for the fact that we have men and women of conviction willing to give of themselves, Lord, as you gave of yourself for our great salvation. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
If you'll turn to 731, we're going to sing Onward Christian Soldiers.
Onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, at the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Christians, lift your voices, see your words and praise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army,
moves the church of God. Christians, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in the triumph song. Glory, Lord, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd take a moment to tarry here, I'd like to ask Jason and his family to precede us, and also recognize Mr. and Mrs. Berlin. Jason's parents are here. If you'd precede the rest of the congregation into the fellowship hall and grab some groceries, we'll do this in honor of Jason and his family. Thank you for your service.